I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Now Stroud. Hanging in, throws it to the near side, picked up. And on the return for the Pats, sidestepping ahead is Mills, takes it back across the middle, trying to turn the corner on the far side. It's still on his feet until he takes the spill at the 24.
Shout out to Total Sports Prep, who provides us with audio but does a horrible job of it just about every single day. For the choppy audio there. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And that is what everybody essentially is focusing on this morning.
The worst interception of all time.
Yeah. That's what they're focusing on. Brian McDonald, behind the glass for Sean Mapes. They're focusing on C.J. Stroud and that interception that he threw. I'm going to read a couple of headlines that have been put out about Stroud's performance, which actually made it to the top of First Take on ESPN today. One, from ESPN and our guy DJ Bien-Aimé. We're going to record a Talkin' Texans podcast a little bit later today. C.J. Stroud struggles in Texans debut. CBS, Stroud struggles in Texans debut. AP, number two pick, C.J. Stroud struggles in his preseason debut. And then you have this from Barstool. What an absolutely atrocious interception by C.J. Stroud on his first NFL preseason drive. Are all of those characterizations fair? To an extent, yes. That interception wasn't good. And C.J. Stroud, I think by his own account, would tell you that he struggled. But I do think that there were some extenuating circumstances out there that explain it. Number one, the offensive line that was out there was not good. At right tackle, Austin Deculus is in there. That guy does not belong in the NFL based off of what we saw last night. He was an effing turnstile out there. Number two, the rest of the offensive line also was without Laremy Tunsil, Shaq Mason, and on top of that, Titus Howard. So you've got those factors that are just making it difficult for C.J. Stroud. I thought that Stroud, though, from the first drive to the second drive after he threw that interception, did learn a little something. Maybe not to try to extend plays the way that he did on that 15-yard sack that he took. I think he was perhaps surprised that NFL players are going to be able to keep with him because he ran way back behind the line of scrimmage, and he kept going, and I think he thought he was going to be able to turn the corner and get out to the right, and the pass rusher was able to track him down, was able to sack him. And then, of course, you have this third and 25 where you think to yourself, maybe I've got to make a play happen. It's my first game. But no route is designed on that play that he threw the interception on to actually go past the first down marker. There was no, hey, run a go route option there. They wanted Stroud to take what was there. And for a moment, the throw that he made, there was a wide receiver open there. I believe it was Tank Dell. He was open for a moment, but you have to hit that throw quickly. So that first drive was a failure, no doubt about it. But I thought in the second drive, I thought that Stroud showed that he does have escapability. Something that is going to be a good crutch to have as a young quarterback. It's one of the reasons I thought that Davis Mills was never going to work out. Mills just does not have the ability to extend plays on his own. And that is his biggest obstacle as a guy who is maybe not the most accurate quarterback in the world. You got to be able to move a little bit. And we're not saying Stroud is Lamar Jackson or anything like that. But I think that to say that he's a little bit like Dak Prescott, as far as his mobility, that is fair. So he showed that off a little bit on the second drive. And I also thought that as a learning experience from the 15-yard sack that he took, and on top of that, from that interception that he threw, I thought that he was a little bit more willing to take a look at checkdowns. And he threw a couple of good checkdowns, I thought. One was high to Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary is a small fellow, and it bounced off his hands. Singletary should have caught that, I think. The other one was a throw that he made to the right as well on the play where he got roughed. That play, I think the ball was also high on that one. But that was the correct throw, put it in a spot where nobody else could get it other than the guy that he was checking it down to, considering he had no time to throw it to, and he had a guy in his face. I thought actually it was a decent ball that he threw. And then, of course, on the left sideline too, he had another throw to Sims where he extended the play and he threw it. I thought from drive one to drive two there were serious signs of improvement. It's not to say that, oh my God, this guy's the greatest quarterback ever, but I think that a lot of people are focusing on the interception. You should focus on what you saw in the second drive of that series. For C.J. Stroud, he only was in for two series. And again, you're not like, oh my God, the Texans have their answer at quarterback. Like we once heard my guy, Mark Vandermeer, say, like, Houston, we have a quarterback. And we're not saying that yet.
The Colts game. Yeah, right. The Colts game. There was, look, he's a rookie quarterback. It's his first game. There was ups and downs. And I like you, some of the positives you pointed out. I thought he recognized Hunt a couple times very, very quickly when guys were coming in untouched. He didn't complete the pass to Singletary, but partly because he had a leaping Patriots defender in his face. Yeah. He had to put it up high. And like you said, Singletary's a little fellow. I liked what he showed as far as his ability to throw on the run, that pass to Sims you mentioned. I believe it was the pass to Sims. He had a rollout where he threw running away to the sideline. So I thought that was pretty nice to see. But, I mean, look, I think there's going to be, shocker here, he's a rookie quarterback, a learning curve. Some of the things you can do in college, like running away from a pass rusher that you're a better athlete than, or waiting to see something come completely open instead of having to anticipate because the DBs aren't, jumping things like that in college. He's just got to learn that. I mean, in those two things, the sack that he took, it was like an 8-9 yard loss in the interception. Those are things he might have got away with in college when he's playing Indiana.
Right, exactly.
That's just, he's got to figure out that this is not the Big Ten anymore. And I can't, some of those things I could do back then because everyone on the field was better than the person across them is not the same in the NFL. And he'll get there, but he's not going to realize that, day one.
Maybe you think you still can get away with it, though, because you're the second overall pick and you see the defense that's out there. There's no Matthew Judon for New England, who is arguably the best defensive player in the AFC. I feel like he's up there, at the very least in the top five. He's one of Belichick's favorites. They actually gave him an extension. He's not out there. You're going up against guys that you probably think as a rookie you're better than because you are C.J. Stroud. And that is, I think, a fair load of confidence to have in yourself, just given the fact that you're the second overall pick and you played at Ohio State. Lots of guys in this league have a ton of ego, a ton of confidence. That's not to say that Stroud had a lot of ego there. But on that sack, I do think that he thought he could get away. And that's why he extended it as opposed to trying to throw the football away. That is going to be something that I hope we see him develop over the course of the year. But I liked seeing him going from looking deep to saying, okay, I don't have time. I just got to give it to the guy who's my bailout option. And he did that a couple of times. And I think that is a good sign from drive one to drive two. All in all, not a successful night for C.J. Stroud, but I do think that there are more positives to take away than people are saying today. You're all focusing on the interception. Of course we are. We overreact to everything. But I think that ultimately, look at it from that perspective, and you're probably going to see a better Stroud in the second preseason game next Saturday against the Miami Dolphins.
And I hate to bring up one of the previous quarterbacks that's here. I don't even really want to say his name, but
say it.
The rookie quarterback the Texans drafted in 2017, I think his name is Voldemort.
Deshaun Watson, yes.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
His name. I'm not like those pussies in the Harry Potter world that couldn't say the guy's name. Like, oh, we were going to stop saying Hitler for all time, too? My God, these wizards are absolute wusses. Continue.
But we saw some of the same things from Deshaun Watson in his rookie year, where he thought, coming out of Clemson, where he was the best athlete on the field, that he could run away from the pass rusher, that he could extend the play an infinite amount of time,
and
he could wait and wait and wait on a throw.
And his biggest issue...
He learned.
He did to an extent. His biggest issue is still the fact that he holds on to the football too long and he gets sacked a lot. He does make plays from time to time.
From, game... Like, I mean, remember his first start against Cincinnati? He was like 150 yards passing. Everyone remembers it because he had the 49-yard touchdown run and the Texans won, I believe, on Thursday Night Football. But he was like 150 yards passing in that game. And Deshaun Watson, even the one that we saw at the end of his rookie year where he's throwing like four touchdowns at New England when, actually New England was, at the top of their power still, that Deshaun Watson was not the Deshaun Watson we saw, you know, in his first game, his second game. It takes time. I mean, we were talking about the elite of the elite quarterbacks coming out with two first-round picks, but even amongst those guys, they're going to have to learn that things they do in college don't necessarily work in the NFL, and they'll have to make adjustments, and I trust Amico to help him make that adjustment.
That's where I'm at. He is Brian McDonald in for Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5. You have any thoughts on what you saw in the preseason, share them. 713-780-3776. We're focusing mostly on C.J. Stroud today because, of course, it's the quarterback. No offense. There were other guys who did things in the game. Also, coming up next, there's a lot of crime going on in the world of football. A lot of it. And it has me wondering specifically about a local Houston legend and whether or not he would take up the case for some of these people. You'll find out what I'm talking about next. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
I don't have friends. I got family.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Not the best day for C.J. Stroud in his first NFL appearance. Stuttering Stanley, not the best open to this segment by Paul Gallant, and not the best conclusion to the Astros series against the Baltimore Orioles. They found themselves down 5-2 thanks to a not-so-great start by Hunter Brown, and even though they once again made the Orioles bullpen, this vaunted bullpen work, ultimately the Astros strand the bases loaded with Jonathan Singleton at the plate and a 5-4 loss. I am actually curious about something. I'm going to look this up on the fly. Because Justin Verlander is making his return tonight for the Houston Astros. And it's weird because he was only gone for 6 months, you know? This is almost like, hey, he was abroad.
Yeah, he's like went to summer camp and now he's back.
Right. Very long summer camp.
I
would say, BMAC, it's more like a semester abroad, right? Like he's somewhere else.
Sure.
And he's back. And he's back for good.
He was hanging out on a yacht in Greece for a while and now he's back.
That sounds amazing. No, I mean, look, like he thought he was going somewhere nice. Like it's as if he went abroad to Los Angeles, and he's like, LA, it's great. And then he got there, and he's like, oh, everyone's doing fentanyl and stabbing people, and the Writers Guild's on strike, so there's nothing for me to even do here, because there's no industry other than acting in Hollywood.
Acting in depression.
That's pretty much it, yeah. People forget. Like, that's kind of what LA has become. So, yeah, it's like he went to LA, the Mets, right? Like, absolute dumpster fire of a team right now. And he's like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to come back. So I was curious as to see how is this so difficult to do online? Astros, Angels, ticket prices.
Where are you trying to
tonight?
Look it up?
I'm trying to look up the predicted price for the game.
I know, but where are you trying to look it up from?
I guess like from StubHub.
Okay.
I'll
pull up a different app, see if I get there faster.
And these apps are terrible. No, F off StubHub. Dying of fire.
Okay, so I'm on SeatGeek, and it looks like there's $32 is the cheapest ticket.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's section 409, so you're a little bit up, but that's not bad. $32 to get in.
Is 409 by the Hornitos area?
That I don't know. It doesn't say.
That's my spot.
$32 to the get-in price. That's not, especially in the secondary market, that's not bad.
$32 to, one, see Justin Verlander's return, two, to see Shohei Ohtani in
modern
person.
Day Babe Ruth do things we've never seen before.
Never, ever in my life. And then three, also he stinks against the Astros for whatever reason, but it's fine. And three, so that I can go pay for a like $400 El Tiempo margarita in center field. I mean, this value speaks for itself. $32 to go to an Astros game tonight. I think I'm going to go.
There you go.
I think I'm going to go. Just had a date cancel on me. I think I'm going to go.
Oh, no. You had a date cancel?
Oh, this is like welcome to being single.
See you walk into work. It's like, nah.
You know what?
Is that possible?
P-Mac, that is a great point. Like, she's listening to me. He's like, he hasn't had a car for 2 months. Does he have a job? Not really. My job is kind of,
you know, crazy. Yeah, especially in dating your 30s, the woman's like, I am not dealing with another guy without a car. Bye, next.
Running out of options, as my mother always says. Yeah, I need the car to get
here. Oh, no, is she giving you the when are you going to get married speech every time you talk to
her? No, she just said once, like, you're running out of options. And I was like, damn, that was cold.
So there's no longer a lot of fish in the sea.
I guess not.
You know, it's been overfished.
It's Hey Angel says, you don't need him, Paulie. You don't need him. Yeah, that's kind of the running bit of the show. So
I'm sure there'd be nights of lots of nice young women there at the Astros game for you to try to meet.
Well, who says them? Who says them into women?
Well, that's the point.
You're presuming.
That's a good point. One of our
you're presuming my sexual interests, BMAC, and I'm offended by that. In 2023, how dare you think that I'm into the women?
Sure, you're open to anything.
I'm into the broads. Come on, I'm into Tom Brady.
I thought he was your Lord and Savior, not your thirst trap wish.
Well,
he's both. Okay,
we all have rules that we'd break. Wanted to make you uncomfortable. Successful. Speaking of uncomfortable, that's how just about every woman feels when they're around Texans minority owner Javier Loya. So I found out some things about him yesterday. First off, I had no idea that there was also a civil suit that he had settled with somebody. And from what I understand, this guy's just an absolute dog. And like has been forever. He's been a womanizer for a very, very, very long time. To the point where there are perhaps people in his family that know this. So that was interesting to find out yesterday. I don't know if Rusty Harden has the stones to pick up this case. And from the sound of things, it seems like Javier Loya, the Texans minority owner who is accused of multiple counts of sexual assault in West Virginia, I believe. I don't think he's acquired his services. But I saw a couple of other stories that have to do with football, and I'm wondering, will Rusty Harden himself, the modern-day Johnny Cochran of 2023 for athletes who have a lot that's being thrown against them, is he willing to take this up? So, this was brought to my attention by BMAC the other day. Joe Mixon has a crazy suit against him.
The story in this is just absolutely, I mean, I hate to say amazing because that kind of connotates that I'm impressed by it. It's amazing the fact that someone would go to this length.
It's pretty nuts. So essentially what happened is some neighbor, like some kids, were doing this thing called Nerf Wars. So they're playing with Nerf guns in his backyard. Mixon saw these kids in his backyard. I guess he'd seen them doing this before. Asks, "What are you all doing?" The children told him they were playing Nerf Wars. Mixon went back inside, but 15 minutes later, automatic gunfire was directed towards these kids playing Nerf Wars. And they were using 7.62 millimeter rounds, which are military bullets. I didn't know that.
We're no longer talking about Nerf weapons here. We're talking about military assault style, seemingly assault style weapons.
So they were shooting at someone was shooting at these kids. And people think that it might have been Joe Mixon or someone that Joe Mixon had hired. Sounds like he may have literally hired an actual commando, Rambo himself, to stop Nerf Wars in his backyard. Would Rusty Harden take up this case?
Absolutely he would. Because Rusty Harden would point out, and I think the story at one point says, is that they're claiming Mixon didn't shoot the gun, that he provided the gun. So, I mean, that is the only opening Rusty Harden would need to try to wiggle some doubt in there as to Mixon's involvement.
I think this is the winner. Someone's arguing, hey, maybe the Wookiee defense that Johnny Cochran uses in South Park, that could work. Chewbacca is a Wookiee. Wookiees on Endor? That don't make no damn sense. But here would be my defense if I was Rusty Harden here. Joe Mixon is a competitive athlete. Joe Mixon was in Nerf Wars to win Nerf Wars. And the best way to win Nerf Wars is with military-grade assault rifles.
He would have won the war.
He would have won it.
Yeah, he would have won it.
My client can't help but compete. He's a born competitor. Forget about that thing that happened in Oklahoma with the girl.
I mean, okay? He did once play in the Red River Shootout. Look, he's experiencing these sort of things.
Yeah, he knows this stuff. Red River Shootout. One time he punched a girl. Not a good look. But that was because he was...
Was he competing in Nerf Wars? We don't know.
We don't know. He's competitive. So I think that would be Rusty Harden's defense. I think Rusty Harden would take this one up. How about Bashaud Breeland?
What's he got going on?
Super Bowl champion cornerback Brian McDonald. Would Rusty Harden defend this man who was caught in Florida with a stolen car? Well, who hasn't?
I mean, yeah, sure. The story ends there, right? There's no, that's not that big
a story. Two AK-47s.
Okay, getting worse.
That's fun. Two AR-15s. Uh-oh! Canceled! You can't have those! AK-47, you're fine. It's vintage. It's exotic. AR-15, you're done effed up.
Yeah.
Jail.
Yeah.
And that, 5 pounds of pot.
This is a terrible pun, but that one's going to get people triggered.
I'm just going to let that marinate.
Thank you.
For everybody.
I'm ashamed of that.
You know what? If he didn't have the two AR-15s, I think Rusty Harden would take it up. But in 2023, you can't have an AR-15.
And he also had 5 pounds of pot. I don't remember if you mentioned that as well. So, I mean, pot is not as big of a deal now.
Who cares?
I think Rusty Harden stays away from this one. Because he's arming up like he's about to storm the Capitol. I mean, this is some weird stuff going on.
Hey, you know?
Maybe he heard about a Nerf war and he said, okay, you want to do this Nerf war, Joe Mixon? I can one-up you.
That is probably who Joe Mixon was calling. He's like, I need some reinforcements.
We got a Nerf war to win, brother.
Bashaud Breeland is actually playing Grand Theft Auto here.
He really was, yeah. Stole
a car.
The only thing he was missing is him shooting a missile launcher at a helicopter.
Yeah, I mean, that's
really would have been GTA.
He was missing a RPG, a sniper rifle, and a shotgun. And a pistol.
So. And a streetwalker he could steal money from.
Yes. Jed York, owner of the San Francisco 49ers. Would Rusty Harden take up this case? This is very on brand, by the way, for the San Francisco 49ers. He is accused of insider trading. Like his daddy! His daddy, Eddie DeBartolo, actually checked it. I don't know if it's his daddy, but it's someone he's related to. Because it's his uncle. Eddie DeBartolo Jr. Sure. is his uncle. So Eddie DeBartolo Jr. used to be the owner of the San Francisco 49ers. In 1998, he failed to report a felony when he paid $400,000 to Louisiana's former governor to win a riverboat casino license. He avoided jail time but was fined $1 million, given 2 years probation. And he transferred ownership to his sister, Denise DeBartolo York, who runs the team with Jed York. So this is his uncle. 49ers do this. Proven family of cheats and bribers. Would Rusty Harden take up the case to defend Jed York of insider trading?
I think so. The paycheck would be enormous.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, I don't even know if he'd have to believe in the case or think he's innocent. That paycheck would be enormous. I think he would definitely take it.
I don't think Jed York would need to hire him. Just throw money. Boom. Over. Done. Must be nice. You can get away with this stuff. You're that rich.
You got FU money like we heard the line from Billions.
Oh, it's not just FU money. It's you might disappear money.
That too.
You know? I know it's the United States of America. These guys, they can get away with a lot. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thank you for playing the new hit segment, the new game show that everyone is just riveted by.
Will Rusty defend it?
Yes, exactly. Get an audience to chant that. Coming up next, again, if you want to keep on weighing in on what you've seen out of the Houston Texans thus far, preseason game number one, other thoughts from it, have at it, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Or if you actually are going to go to tonight's Justin Verlander return. When I see you again, it's been a long day. Okay, I'll stop. That's on the table. Also, the U.S. women's national team is getting dumped on by the Dutch. So, rock bottom. Paul Galancho, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it football season yet?
A tug of war. 22 nameless men grappling in the mud. They call it pro football.
You're listening to The Sean Mabe Show on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's my favorite sports radio host of all time, Sean Mapes, and his assistant.
Right you are there, Spencer. But no Sean Mapes today. Getting a little vacation time, like I have used all of already this offseason. BMAC is behind the glass in for Sean Mapes. We have some interesting questions on the air. Some people are asking, hey, Paul. What's going on? What's next with this radio station? With Cody having left? With Brad Kellner leaving at the end of today's show? With Jay Gasman, who took an absolutely devastating right hook from Dell this morning? I don't know. I really have no clue. People
okay,
are,
see, now you intrigued me. I missed the right hook from Dell.
Oh, yeah.
And not everyone would have been listening at the time.
Let me explain it.
Yeah, I might as well explain it.
John and Lance were, and specifically Lance, were explaining that if somebody leaves, they're just saying, oh, yeah, he was taking Saudi money. And Dell asked, okay, like, were Cody and Brad taking Saudi money, or were they, like, essentially just sick of Jake or something like that? And I was like, damn, okay.
Wow.
We're playing by these rules. It's good to have Dell back. Dell throws a mean right hook. Yeah, I have no idea. People are asking, have been asking me all week. I really do not know.
Are you going to take Saudi money?
Well, I would definitely take Saudi money, but I've been on brand saying that since the beginning. Guys.
You can be, Paulie G can be bought.
I would sell anything. Anything, including myself. Like, I'm like.
What, is OnlyFans next for you?
I mean, I'm in great shape, so.
The look you gave seems like you thought about it.
Well, what? I mean, we're in an evolving industry, you know? I would,
all platforms, man.
I would really stand out compared to other sports talk show hosts if, in addition to just delivering incredible sports takes, that I also exposed my incredibly tiny nipples for all the world to see.
Hey, that's a selling point, then.
Some people on the Twitch... I don't
sports
know.
Take with abs, Pauly G.
I have a question. I don't, and I'm sorry if I sound a little bit elitist here.
But that's kind of on brand for you, though.
What is the term that is regularly used here on the Twitch? Taco meat. What is that?
I have no idea.
Is that referring?
Someone calling you taco meat?
No, they want me to show the taco meat, and I'm like, is that my chest hair? I don't know.
Should we Google it?
I honestly do not know. I don't think you should Google it, BMAC. I think that you will get called in.
Google machine. I'll take that bullet for you. I'll find
out. I don't think you should. I don't think you should. But it is a Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday. Astros get Justin Verlander on the hill on his Minute Maid Park return tonight. The Texans, they won their preseason opener. Tank Dell looked good. The pass rush, specifically Will Anderson, looked good. CJ Stroud.
It's your chest hair.
Not his best performance. Case Keenum, legend. It is chest hair. Okay, good to know. Case Keenum should be competing for that QB1 spot. Things that we have discussed over the course of today's show. A couple of other comments, twitch.tv/ESPN975 or on the text line 713-780-3776. This goes back to Justin Verlander's return. Paul, are you more interested in seeing Justin Verlander than Kate Upton? Yes. I have been compared, when I've got my beard, the scruff, I have been compared to Justin Verlander. People think I look like him.
Were these people coming off an eye exam? Were their eyes dilated? Were they suffering with some sort of impairment?
I'm just saying what people have said I look like.
No, I mean, that would be on brand for the show, because obviously Sean Mapes looks like Lance McCullers' brother.
He does.
We have another, add on another member of the Astros rotation now with Shore JV, I guess. I don't know what the title would be there.
Okay. But hey, people have said this, but they're asking if I'm more interested in seeing Justin Verlander than Kate Upton. And my answer to that is, yes, I'm more interested in seeing Justin Verlander than I am in seeing Kate Upton. And here's where things are about to get controversial. I find Kate Upton to have a beautiful face.
Okay. I feel like there's a butt coming.
But the butt is, bod's not my type. Not my type.
Okay, yeah.
Not for everybody.
Some people... set up that this was going to be an elitist conversation.
This isn't elitist. Some people are boob guys. And some people are ass men, and I'm in the latter. I am an ass man. I'm not as man like Jake. I am an ass man. I like people who are fit, in shape, who look like they play a sport or something like that. You know, going for the...
Look like they can dominate the media flag football game?
Yeah, and you're probably wondering...
That's what you should be looking for women at, is the media flag football game.
Well listen, here's the sad thing is there's mostly guys at this one. But,
yeah, well, you said earlier you didn't discriminate.
But some people, exactly. See, I'm looking for athletic and toned people. I'm Kate Upton, not my cup of tea. But she, I do realize, is thought to be by many to be stunningly beautiful. And good for Justin Verlander. And this is not meant to sound a slander. Just not my type.
It sounds like you're calling out Justin Verlander's standards.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying my standards are different than Justin Verlander's standards in that Justin Verlander is able to date supermodels. he's dating a supermodel. Like, what are we talking about here? This is not me saying, like, oh, I wouldn't date Kate Upton. Are you kidding me? Kate Upton probably makes more money than me by a lot.
Well, by a lot. You didn't need to put probably in there.
You know what, B-Mac, shut up, okay? I want at least there to be an air of mystery that maybe Paul Gallant is this, like, loaded radio star.
Well, you did,
with oil money, like Johnny Manziel.
I think you spoiled that, though, when you said you were walking to work the other day.
I got oil money like Johnny Manziel. You know, people never talk about that, but, you know, lady who canceled on the date for later today, I have the oil money.
Maybe she would also like to see Justin Verlander over Pauly G. Maybe that's why she canceled. She's going to the game.
From the 281, Paul, my girl and I are listening in. She said you sound like a guy who knows where to get a good Brazilian wax.
That sounds like an insult.
I think that means that I have the lady parts.
I think that's what they're trying to say.
Do I? I don't know. It's 2023.
I don't know. Find out. Subscribe to Pauly G's OnlyFans. Find out.
Listen, guys. We all have our own story. We all have our own journey.
This is the weirdest Brock Osweiler every interception.
Listen, it's Friday. It's Friday. You know. Now people are asking me where. I can't read that one on the air. No, I. You know what was funny? So when I was working in Seattle, I worked at this station that was owned by the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Mm.
And
in Seattle? I didn't know they reached up that high.
Oh, they're big on the West Coast. There's a lot of them.
I knew it was like, yeah, Northwest.
Nothing wrong with
Utah,
them.
Utah, obviously, but
honestly, the people from the Church of Latter-day Saints, they treated me great. They really did. But there were some limitations as far as what we could advertise. We couldn't advertise alcohol. We couldn't advertise gambling, which was kind of difficult when you're a sports radio station.
I mean, listen to her commercials. Everything's either beer or FanDuel or DraftKings. Yeah.
So, but there was an exception. I was endorsing, get this, Manscaped.
Okay, yeah, the shaving thing, yeah.
So I was doing live reads talking about shaving my bits and pieces. Paul Gallant here for Manscaped. And at this station owned by the Church of Latter-day Saints, where we were only allowed to do specific advertisements, I thought it was hilarious that I was talking about essentially like taking an electric razor called the Lawnmower 2.0 and taking it all over. You know, yes. Taco meat?
Yeah.
No. But the nipple hair, yes, and downstairs, yes. And I know this is perhaps disgusting some people in the lunch hour, and some people are offended by this kind of conversation around now. It's too gross for them. They can't eat after they hear this. This was a conversation on Wednesday, but that was an actual thing that happened. Not allowed to endorse alcohol?
Do they have to approve? Because I've heard those commercials before, not yours specifically, but the dialogue gets pretty suggestive. Do they have to approve, like, special phrasing for you?
Yes, they did. It was funny. It was really, like, I remember we went over what I was allowed to say and what I was not allowed to say on the air several times. So generally it went back to, I'm not talking about taking care of downstairs. I'm talking about taking care of upstairs with this electric razor. But again, it's called Manscaped, and everybody knows what Manscaped is referring to. You're talking about the bush.
You literally had to read a disclaimer that you're not talking about downstairs?
It's essentially, like, I had to imply that I wasn't. It was funny. The hula hoops that we had to jump through there for advertising still tickle me to this day. But guess what doesn't tickle you? The lawnmower. Still got it. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We wrap things up on a day where C.J. Stroud didn't look so good last night. And on top of that, the Astros take on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim with Justin Verlander on the hill tonight at Minute Maid Park. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now with more nougat.
You and Lance didn't for a year.
That's just because he dabbed all the time.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Now Stroud, hanging in, throws it to the near side, picked there up. And on the return for the Pats, sidestepping ahead as Mills takes it back across the middle, trying to turn the corner on the far side. It's still at his feet until he takes the spill at the 24.
So everyone is overreacting to that moment. In last night's game, C.J. Stroud's first drive in the NFL, preseason game number one against the New England Patriots, throws an interception after taking a 15-yard sack. That first series was not good. I thought he was better on the series right after it. But he was only in for two series. I don't think that this means that a quarterback competition between he and Davis Mills is still in existence. I think that they took him out because they didn't want him to die. Not even kidding on that front. Austin Deculus, shame. Shame for that performance last night. Feel for you. You might not be able to cut it in the NFL based off of that, but that was a very bad performance. Number 66 on the Houston Texans. Number, the highest number you can think of as far as guys in power rankings that were playing for the Houston Texans in a football game last night on a terrible, disgusting Gillette Field, which was riddled with all the rubber pellets that you see on the fake turf field.
Yeah, it was rainy. There was rubber kicking up everywhere.
Awful field. Yeah. Honestly, that was a horrible, horrible field. And I do understand why players bitch and moan about that stuff. If you've ever tried to run on that, it's very slippery when it's dry. When you've got that many rubber pellets out there.
Was that bad when Brady was there? I would have figured Brady
That's the worst I've ever seen at
BMAC. Okay, because I would have figured when Brady's there, he would have said something and would have been fixed the next day. But
they had really bad fields a couple of times because they did do natural grass for a while. And then I think they switched,
They had natural grass at the stadium before Gillette, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they had it at Gillette, too. They had natural grass for a while. I forget when they changed it. They had a couple of games that were kind of like what you've seen in Pittsburgh and in Washington over the last couple of years where the field looked horrible. So I don't think you should overreact about what you saw from C.J. Stroud last night. I don't. I know a lot of people want to. And I am debating going to the Astros game tonight. And if I'm there, I'll tweet about it. @Galantzess.
Make sure to take pictures of Kate Upton. I know she's not your type, but maybe the people want to see it.
Couple of texts here. Paul thinks Kate Upton isn't stunning. Shocker. We all know why. Winky face. Never said that. I do think that she has a beautiful face. I truly do.
She's not up to your standards.
I'm not saying that either. Like I do find her like attractive, but I'm not attracted to her.
Paul standards, greater sign, JV standards.
That makes sense. Like I'm not. She's attractive.
No, I get it. I get it.
I mean, am I saying no?
There's always going to be women that are universally regarded as attractive that maybe you don't have at the highest level. Well, I get that.
Right.
I would disagree on Kate, but I get it in general.
Ocho Texto texts in, Kate Upton is overrated and needs to eat a steak or 10. What does that mean?
Does that mean she needs to be skinny? If they're saying she needs to eat a steak, she's too skinny.
That's interesting. Listen, she is...
I wouldn't say she's too skinny.
I think she's in perfectly fine shape.
Yeah.
But she's like not ripped like an athlete. That's right. Kind of what I like.
That was a weird. Yeah, that comment. Maybe that person's thinking of someone else because I don't know that would be how you.
No, I don't either. Kate Upton. I honestly feel like the more I talk about this, like the more I seem like a dumbass. Like the saying, more like, Kate Upton. Yeah. No. Like I'm an ass guy, not a boobs guy. That's what I'm trying to say here.
I'll put that in the podcast description today.
Paul is an ass man, not a boobs guy. How does this relate to C.J. Stroud? Great question. Tony the Handsome on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, says, I like a woman that's smart with a great heart. I don't look at their physical features. Well, shut the hell up. Just shut up.
The question we need to ask
just stop.
Is, would Macaroni and Tony wave a feather at Kate Upton?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he wouldn't do it at her. I think he would do it at her boobs, not her butt. And I think Justin Verlander would beat his ass.
So the where he puts the feather is he's identifying his favorite part of the woman's body?
I would assume so, yes. Okay. He's trying to say, hey, look at this. Tony Macaroni, everybody. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's time for a little garbage time. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
A question. Was Bill O'Brien at that game last night? And was it a purposeful decision by the Texans broadcast of last night's preseason game? Shout out to ND Kalu. I thought he was great, along with Kevin Kugler. Was that a conscious decision to never zoom in wherever the hell Bill O'Brien was? I really want to know. Because that's a pretty big storyline in a preseason game, no? That Bill O'Brien used to be the head coach of this team?
It's not my job to do that.
I'm shocked, BMAC. We didn't see anything about it. And honestly, I didn't even think about it until someone brought it up on the Twitch. Hey, was O'Brien there? I honestly do not remember if he was on the field. And, I mean, there's got to be at least a couple of holdovers from the Bill O'Brien era on the Texans, or are they all gone? Laramie Tunsil, I guess, is it, huh? And he wasn't playing in last night's game. Tytus Howard, I guess, would have been there.
John Weeks, obviously. John Weeks has been there for millennials. Yeah,
John Weeks was there for Tom Capers, probably.
Kaimi was there.
Tony the Handsome says O'Brien was shown. Okay. I honestly didn't see it. What a moment in time. Listen, I appreciate his vigor, his piss and vinegar, but he probably had too much of it, which led to his downfall. I did an interview in Alabama yesterday, and this person asked me like about some of the things that the Texans have gone through over the last couple of years, and I just listed them all. And the guy was like, well, O'Brien wasn't that bad of a coach. And I was like, well, it's not about O'Brien the coach. It was about O'Brien the guy, because he was a jerk to everybody, like everybody. Anyway, guys, we could all rest easy because Houston's own Sassy Trucker, famous from TikTok, she is back from Dubai. You might have heard on a previous episode of the Paul Gallant Show that she was detained because she got in an accident and the rental car company in Dubai she was renting from just confiscated all her stuff.
Was she being too sassy?
And took her passport. You know what? She might have been, but from the sound of things, it was like, oh, we allowed a woman to drive.
Yeah, that's probably.
We can't allow her to leave the country ever. Right. Like, that's kind of the vibe I got. But the Sassy Trucker is back in Houston safe. So that's great to know. One of our finest influencers, along with Tony Macaroni. Speaking of other people that went famous on the internet, remember the lady that went viral for screaming on a plane about an MF-er there that's not
that
real?
That person's not real.
She's, guess where she's from?
Texas.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Not Texas.
Yeah,
Dallas.
Yeah, it's true. It's Oklahoma. It's southern Oklahoma.
Correct. Speaking exclusively to DailyMail.com from her home in Dallas, Gomez said, no one knows anyone else's story, and no one should judge. No one knows what it's like. So much of what's out there is inaccurate. When asked for specifics, she didn't comment any further.
Every viral video has its own story, Paul.
It does. She is from Dallas.
Says another reason not to visit Dallas.
So apparently someone...
Presidents get shot there. This lady lives there.
That's true.
Plus the Rangers are there. Who wants to go?
Apparently someone stole her AirPods in her own family, which is why she lost her effing mind.
What, before she got to the airport?
That's a great question.
Yeah, the timing of that, are they on the airplane together? That doesn't make any sense.
That's a great question. I don't know either. We just know that she's from Dallas, and it explains a lot. So anyway, that's going to wrap up today's show. Big thanks to B-Max subbing in for Sean Mapes the last 2 days. Big thanks to you, the texters. Big thanks to you, the Twitchers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next. Whoop!
It's not easy to come to New England as a rookie and go in there and try to execute, but they felt like I did a decent job at that, so I just got to keep going.